All right, so I will, I'm going to set a timer up here so I don't go crazy long. All right, let's jump straight into it. So yeah, like he said, I kind of started, you know, maybe like some of you, right? So quick introduction, my name is Brian Lochner, like he said. And as a wholesaler, it's all about marketing, it's all about transactions, right? And then after you're wholesaling for a while, you're wholesaling to who? Like fixing and people who fix and flip. So you think to yourself, well, how hard could that be? Maybe I'll do that. So I dabbled in that, and then that was a lot of work, so I was like, let's buy rental properties. But I needed tons of money to do that, seemed like. So then I got into rentals, and then I got into land, and then I got into lending, and lending all of a sudden started getting kind of interesting. And I was a hard money lender for a little bit, did some land banking for a while too, and then all of a sudden this guy that you see over here on the left side of the screen was speaking at an event much like this, and he was talking about notes and how, you know, how cool it is, and he was showing really amazing things on the screen, big numbers, you know, all the good stuff that you want to see. But for me, and I'm not going to claim that I'm always focused, but there was a moment apparently that he was talking about that I completely missed. Because for me, what he was talking about was building wealth. And is it, anybody want to build some wealth? Yeah? Okay, good. That's going to make this way easier. Well, at that time, I was very much in a spot to where I needed income. The reason I started wholesaling full time, actually, is because I went into my job and they're like, sorry to tell you this, but you don't work here anymore. Right? And so I got to go home. I had a mortgage. I was the only income earner. I had a son. My wife was pregnant. That's obviously, that should have been the sign. Now that you're pregnant, we're going to lose our income. Right? And so I blame her. No, just kidding. But I started wholesaling really out of necessity. Right? But it really became about, I like the idea of building wealth. I just can't afford to build wealth right now. That was my limiting belief. That's what I believed about myself and about my business. And as he was talking about this, I was about 2 years into business when I heard him speak, and it was about 2016, and I was like, cool story, man. I got, you know, houses to wholesale. And in 2018, I was in the Dallas, Texas market, and we were wholesaling houses, and marketing got tougher, right? Anybody who's been doing this for a while, you know it's very cyclical with marketing sometimes. Sometimes you're crushing it with marketing. Sometimes it just is tough. And for me, it got tougher and tougher, and so I started joining masterminds. I was trying to figure out, what is it? Am I really just, should I go back to pink postcards? Do I do handwritten? Do I do text? Like, we're just trying anything and everything, right? And ultimately, I'm at a mastermind just said, you know, you ought to speak to Eddie Speed. I was like, who's that? And they're like, they showed me a picture, and I was like, oh, this is awkward. I talked to this guy a couple years ago, and he said, this might be something you want to check out. Long story short, in 2018, I get reconnected with Eddie Speed, with Note School. And for those of you who need to know, or you don't know anything, anybody know about Note School? Anybody ever heard of it? So if you don't know about it, here's what you got to know. This man right here on the left side of the screen, Eddie Speed, he's been doing it for 40 years, and he's now done over 50,000 deals himself. Just think about that. I'm sure some of you are high-level, you know, investors. You're doing a lot of volume, but he's added some zeros to that, right? And how was he able to really scale it at that pace? And I'm going to show you some strategies that I think will really kind of open your mind and really help you figure out how does this fit into your business model today. Specifically, we're going to talk about really what does this look like in this new normal, right? As I kind of talked to people throughout the day today, I said, hey, what do you think the biggest need in your business is? Like, what's something that you really want to focus on? And people had no idea what I was going to talk about, you know what I mean? But it was one of these things, the number one theme outside of like, I'm always trying to raise money. Well, aren't we all? The other one was, I'm trying to find a solid deal. Anybody in here trying to find a solid deal right now? Okay, some of you, you know you're at like a real estate thing, right? Like we buy houses. I'm just making sure. It's going to get weird if we go on. You're like, I don't think I'm in the right place. We can have somebody pick you up. The point is, I really want to dive into kind of where we are today and how to adjust and adapt, because anytime the market shifts, you have to have this moment of, if I don't adapt with the market, I could potentially die, right? And so much of us are thinking about surviving because our strategies will help us survive. I really want to show you how, well, not only how can we survive, how can we really thrive in a time like this, okay? So what's going on in the marketplace right now, okay? What's great? Well, the stock market's going crazy. Good job. If you got investments, cool. You know, the real estate investing or the real estate market's going bananas somehow still. Crazy low interest rates. If you could borrow $1 billion under 3%, would we all do it? Probably, right? A lot of you really would. That's what's going great. But much like the picture of the iceberg, there's another side. What's not going great? Well, FHA loans. 14% of the country's FHA loans are not paying. What happens when people don't pay their mortgage? They eventually potentially lose the house, right? Overall, 9% of all residential mortgages are not paying. 10 million renters are behind. Some of you guys are feeling that personally. 35% less qualified borrowers today than there were before the pandemic. So when the pandemic started, you could qualify for a loan on Monday, but by Monday of the next week, you magically might not have been able to qualify. Not because you lost your job, not because your circumstances changed, but because Chase Bank or whoever says, hey, we said it was 620 credit score minimum, but now it's 700 and you're at 699, so we just can't loan to you based on that one variable, right? This is a whole other thing that people don't realize. Obviously, commercial real estate's in big trouble. When you shut down businesses for a long period of time, they can't pay their bills. A lot of these businesses aren't in business anymore. So I tell you all that because I want to talk about really what this looks like for us, right? And I'm going to start by talking about what is a note, because if I don't, it's going to get really confusing when I start talking about and saying the word note 1,400 times. A note is simply a promise to pay, okay? Right now you're in the housing business maybe, and the housing business has a house. I'm going to talk about the paper side of real estate. What does it look like to simply invest into the same strategies on the paper side of real estate rather than the physical asset side? A dollar bill is a note. If you read your money, which most of us don't, it says it's a Federal Reserve note. It is a promise to pay. I'm still trying to figure out whose promise it is and all this other stuff, but the point is, it's a promise to pay. Same thing for a check. If you write a $1,000 check and you don't have that money in your account, that's a hot check. If there's enough zeros, you go to jail, right? Then the bottom two are really more like what we're talking about today, like a car loan, a mortgage, a home loan, right? There's a promise to pay, but there's also collateral involved. In the event you don't pay me, I send the repo man to pick up the car. You know, you potentially lose your house, right? We get this. We're all on the same page. So I tell you that, and really what my main objective today is, I want to show you kind of the bigger picture that most people don't see in real estate. And how is it that somebody who started at 20 years old can grow a business in 40 years to do 50,000 deals? How is that possible? And part of it has to do with the strategy, right, and kind of what you know. And I really want to expose that to you today. But I also really want to show you why this matters specifically right now and why it's such an important deal. So let me kind of walk you through what we consider to be the six biggest niches in the note business. Buying properties with creative financing. Now, you're going to say, Brian, you just said we're going to focus on paper, not property. But you got to understand that when it comes to creative financing, if you buy a property that has terms, you buy a house and the seller provides the financing, you've got a house, and what can you do with it? You can flip it, wholesale, you can do whatever you want, right? It's your house and there's financing attached. The reason I bring this up is really the other side of this is reselling it. If I was to buy a house, right, there's a session I think after this talking about sub twos. If you go check that out, they're going to teach you how to buy houses with the seller providing the mortgage, providing the financing. And if you have that and you want to do a strategy, that's great. What I chose to do in my business is turn around and resell this thing to what we call the penalty box buyer. But the point is that seller financing allows me to be the bank. I'm going to create a note with somebody else, another buyer who's going to give me a down payment, and they have a promise to pay every single month. And since I'm the bank, am I responsible for the toilets or the roof leaking or the AC or any of that? I'm not, right? Anybody call Wells Fargo when the furnace breaks? That'd be a weird phone call. So this is what it looks like to simply create a note. And we start there. But once you've created a note and you understand how that works, then I can really talk about what it looks like to really get into the note business. If you can wholesale a house, you can wholesale the paper side of real estate, right? Really, that's what wholesaling notes is. This is how Eddie Speed started at 20 years old. And then the blue box that you see buying performing loans, this is what it looks like to buy and hold. Instead of a rental property, this is simply holding a mortgage. Now, I'll be real honest. The first time Eddie told me about this, I was like, why would I want to invest in something that makes like 3, 4, 5%? You know? And I'm sure the argument is, oh, you have less headache. And I'm like, but I'm in it for the money. So how do we get to that? And really what I found out is not only is performing loans a really competitive way to get the rates or the yields that you want, but it has some leveraging abilities that's the best wealth building tool that I've ever seen. And it just takes a minute to sit down and listen to it. So I'm glad you're here because we're going to talk about it. Eddie actually asked me to join the teaching team in January 2020, and really it was about this conversation of burnout landlords. We won't talk too much about it, but at the end of the day, when you look at the data, there was an additional 18 million new landlords or 18 million new investors entering the real estate investing space between 2010 and 2020. Outside of the standard curve, what causes this massive influx of people to magically become real estate investors like myself? It's four letters. HGTV, right? You got Chip and Joanna Gaines flipping houses, Mike Holmes, Property Brothers. Vanilla Ice was flipping houses. So, I mean, if everybody can do it, apparently. I mean, I wanted to watch a show and be inspired that I could be confident that I could go make $60,000 in 60 minutes just like they did, right? That's what this was about. And I'm not knocking it. What I'm saying is there's all these people who jumped into space. They wanted to flip houses. And at the end of the day, if anybody's scaled the fix and flip business, you know this. It's not about houses. It's actually about managing contractors' budgets and timelines. And if you master those three things, it's amazing how well of a flip business you can have. I never mastered those three things. I still scaled it anyway like an idiot. The point is that you got burned out, right? And what we saw is this trend of people who, I'm going to buy one, I'm going to buy two, I'm going to buy three. They never really bought anymore. But those fix and flips, maybe they weren't profitable, maybe they lost money, maybe whatever it is. And they transitioned at the end and said, I'll just put a tenant in here. And in 30 years, this will be the best decision ever. And they're right. It probably will be. Except for anybody own rental property? Yeah. So you know it's not about 30 years. It's about that first 1 to 5 years, right? Especially in this case where they were flipping the house, so they just repaired the furnace. They just repaired the air conditioning unit. And 3 years later, whose house is it? It's still their house. So now they got to put more money into a property that has the same cash flow. And what does that do to your return on investment? It drives it down. It tanks it, right? And so the reason I tell you this is this is a great source for inventory. It's a great source for capital for your note business right now. But there's a lot of pain right now of people who said, look, I never really wanted to be a landlord. It's just the way it works. And the bottom line is there's the good pieces I like. I like the cash flow whenever the tenant pays. I like the return on investment if I don't have to do actual real math. I like that it's, you know, a real asset. I could drive by it on my way home from work. That's the good pieces. I put up with the tenants, the toilets, the turnover, all the T's, right, in order to get that. And I get that, right? But we could simply go to these people and say, listen, I understand that you like the good part, but you don't like the bad part. If I could show you a way to keep all the good, keep the rate of return, in fact, it might even go up, keep the cash flow, in fact, it's probably also going to go up. It's still going to be secured by the house, but I'll take away all of the bad. No tenants, no toilets, no turnover. You'll never put any more money into this asset. You'll actually get stabilized cash flow and stabilized returns. Would you be open to a conversation of what that might look like? Very logical, rational conversation, right? And all I'm doing is simply saying, this is what a rental property looks like, and this is what it looks like to be a note investor, to be the bank. The banks don't seem to lose, do they? It's almost like they got something figured out, right? And so this is an interesting conversation for another time, but the last one I wanted to talk about is buying defaulted loans, really non-performing loans, right? Has anybody figured out that some people aren't paying their mortgages right now? And then also, why in the world would I want to buy an asset that isn't paying the bills? That doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? Isn't that why we got into this for the mailbox money? We got in for the passive income. If there's no income coming in, why should I put money into it? I'm going to show you why this is a huge opportunity, specifically due to the market cycle, the part of the market cycle that we're in, and obviously the pandemic, and really kind of how that works. So let me kind of come back full circle before we dig into this and just make sure everybody's on the same page. Typical transaction, right? You got a buyer or a seller, a house in a bank. And again, when we're talking about originating a note, investor or the buyer is going to buy it. The mortgage, traditionally, we go and get a mortgage from the bank, right? And that's obviously what funds the whole deal. The house remains the collateral, right? In this instance, what you're going to see more often in what we call the mom and pop seller finance note world is the seller is going to become the bank. The seller is going to provide the financing. You kind of get that idea. And again, once you get that, you can go originate your own note simply by selling it to another buyer, creating your own note. And so what I want to do is I want to just take a second and just start and just kind of strategy by strategy, and let's go through it and let's kind of explain really how this works, and let's really explain what the opportunity is so that you better understand how this fits in your marketplace today. Wholesaling notes, okay? This is, again, if you can wholesale a house, you can wholesale a note. We don't need money to wholesale anything. It's just simply the paper side of real estate. So let's get into the meat of it. How do we find these things? How do we market for these things? I'm just going to give you the answers. Let's do it. First thing is, you obviously can create some mailing lists, right? Here's some places right now you can go get mailing lists. Experian, CoreLogic, Advanced Seller Data Solutions, there's tons of them. But you're specifically looking for people who are carrying back the financing, that where the seller provided the financing, right? This is what is known as seller carryback on Experian, right? They all call it something different, but the point is you're going to filter your list and you're going to look in the financing column on most of them, and you're simply filtering it out for who's carrying back the financing. Those are people who own notes. meaning they used to live in the house. Now they no longer live in the house, but they're carrying back the financing. They're getting payments. And I can simply send marketing to these people and say, hey, I see that you're receiving all these payments. If you want, I can actually give you a lump sum of cash. You don't have to wait for the payments anymore, right? That's kind of the messaging that we're going with. So you can start doing your own marketing. And then there's other ways, right? I'll kind of show you how I got involved with Eddie Speed, how I got involved with Note School. I'll show you how you can do that. You have access to inventory that's available to you. That obviously helps things. For a guy who's struggling with inventory, this was a big flag for me. It was one of these things like, hold on a second, you can get me inventory? Well, I'm a transactional guy. That's what I needed, right? So that's a part of it. We can work with private equity funds. We can work with hedge funds, et cetera, and we'll dig into that in a minute. But really, this is how we're generating the leads. And once we have them, then we can turn around and we can do one of two things. Either I'm getting them from the seller, right, the seller of the note. You know, say your aunt and your uncle who decided to sell their house and they're getting a payment every single month and they just want to be cashed out. That's a note, and I could take it to a bigger buyer and a buyer could simply buy it, right? I'm just wholesaling it that way. Or I could go the other way, right, where I'm simply going to find access to note inventory and I'm going to pull down the notes that are available and I'm going to go raise the money. I'm going to go find people who want a passive investment, a lower risk profile investment that we'll talk about, and I can simply pull it down, move it over. And what's kind of cool is their money's going to actually fund. This is what's a little bit different about the housing side. They're going to fund it to wherever I got the inventory for, and whatever they paid over is what obviously my cut is, right? This is the kind of generic way. But the point is this, that really when we're talking about wholesaling notes specifically, the thing I like to talk about is the fact that there's two ways to do it, right? And 50%, half of the equation with notes is done for you. I can either show you where to get the notes, or I can show you who the buyers are. But I can't. You can't put these two people together, right? So I could show you the notes, I could show you where the buyers, but you got to find the other one. So it's just more of a preference and kind of what you're trying to focus on, right? And that's the very simplistic nature of what it looks like to wholesale a note. All right, so now let's get into the good stuff, because some people are like, I don't have money, I don't have credit, I can't do marketing. How do I get involved? I'm telling you, 20-year-old Eddie Speed, who was like, you know, rodeo champion, like from Mississippi. I don't know if anybody knows the whole story behind it, but if he can do it, trust me, this is not rocket science, guys. So this is a way to generate a fee, right? $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever you can wholesale it for. That doesn't help us build wealth, but for somebody like me, that was really important when I learned about it because I needed money today. And that's something that's really important I want you to understand. No matter what I really show you today, you can use all these strategies to focus on making money today. You can focus on using these same strategies to build wealth for tomorrow. You can actually kind of do both, right? What if you need money today, but you also want to focus on building your wealth? Like, I want to focus on building my wealth, but I got two kids and they eat snacks. They eat like 37 snacks a day and snacks get expensive. So I got to have money, right? I can't just focus on my wealth. And so what I want to do is I kind of want to go into the bigger picture. I want to start showing you kind of what this looks like. How many of you guys are interested in like a buy and hold, a passive income type of approach, right? Perfect. This will be a good conversation because somebody's already thinking, Brian, stop asking me to work. You know, I just want to be passive. So when we're looking at a note, let me walk you through the logic and kind of what I'm looking for. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the value. Right? What is it worth today? Whether I got a BPO, whether I got comps, whether I got an appraisal, however you're going to go about it, right? You want to figure out about what is it worth today. And the reason that is that's the number we start with and we reverse engineer it. So if it's worth $48,000, right, and this one just happens to be in Florida, that number is going to be two parts. It's the debt and the equity. The debt is what I'm buying, my first position lien, right? This is obviously gives me security, but the equity piece is really what tells me my risk associated with that investment. And I don't know about you guys, but I focus a lot right now on raising capital. And I'll tell you the number one thing that I hear more than anything else when I'm talking to high net worth individuals is solely this conversation of I'm interested in managing my risk. I'm interested in capital preservation more than I am trying to double my money over the next 10 years. I've done this for 10 years. It's been great. Help me preserve this. So either help me lower my risk, point me in the direction to where that can go. And really, for me, it's the same way, right? So what I want to do is I want to look at the equity in the deal, how much it's appreciated, but also I really want to look at specifically how many payments have been made. If somebody's been paying for 3 years on time every single month, is it pretty good chance they're going to keep paying? Pretty good, right? I mean, I would actually submit to you that after about 6 months of paying, chances are they're going to continue to pay. In fact, right now, it's never been, in my opinion, a more simplistic way to invest in notes, because if you're looking at a note and somebody didn't miss a single payment during the pandemic, is that not a really great sign for us? If you can weather that storm, I'm pretty sure moving forward, we're probably going in the right direction. Something has to happen that neither one of us can control. And again, that's just going to reduce my risk. So the point is, I'm at a 65% loan to value, right? Is that good or bad if you're a lender? It's good, right? It's relatively good. I'm not saying it's like a home run deal, but you want it to be under 80, right? Ideally, you want it to be under 75, under 70. The lower that number gets, the lower your risk goes, right? Your exposure is lower. So if that's the case, here's what we want to do. We want to take a look, now that we understand kind of what our risk level is and kind of how we're protected, I really want to look at the note itself. So we're going to look at all the details. And what's unique about notes is that you can buy them in an IRA. You can buy them in an HSA. Eddie actually has he has two grandkids now, both under two, and they have Coverdale education accounts, right? And they have note deals in their Coverdale education accounts. Well, you can only fund these accounts with so much money every single year. How could that possibly be a thing? I'm going to show you how. But the point is, you can do this in a tax advantage way. And this is where I feel like Benjamin Franklin lied to us, only because he didn't know. He said there's two things in life that are certain, death and taxes, right? Well, he didn't think that the Roth IRA was going to be invented one day. And, you know, you get the idea. So here we are. We're sitting at a loan. $31,000 is what's owed. The interest rate's 10%. That's known as the coupon rate, which is what's the interest rate on the actual loan balance. There's 203 months left, and it's $318 a month. Okay? And really when I'm buying a loan, really what I'm buying is I'm buying the right to receive those future payments. That's kind of the key to this whole thing, right? I'm going to give you money today, and I got to be willing to wait 203 months in order to get my money. Well, the thing about notes is notes are bought and sold at a discount, right? I don't want to pay the coupon rate, because if I pay the coupon rate, my return on investment is 10%. Now, most of you are like, I mean, I'll still take 10% though, Brian. Like, that's not the end of the world. These are what are known as non-QM borrowers typically. The average rates right now range between 6 and 10% interest. So the majority of the notes you're going to see are in that ballpark, okay? They're not getting the 2.85%, you know, mortgage that maybe you're getting, okay? So this is what we're buying. We're buying the right to receive these future payments. And every single month, a third party known as a note servicer will collect this payment, the taxes, the insurance, and they'll say, you're owed 318. We will send you that payment every single month. They deposit it into your IRA or your checking account, however you structure the deal. And there you go. And after 203 months, you've received 100% of your money back, as well as all the interest you made, $64,000. But again, if we're buying it at a discount, what discount can we get it at? Well, if you're marketing, you negotiate your own deal. If you're buying it from some sort of source, right, a note inventory source, they're typically pre-priced. There's no real negotiation. And so in this note, we bought for $24,425. This does two things. One, it gave me equity in the deal, right? That's going to increase my return. But the other thing, you see where it says 50% ITV? That's investment to value, the money I have in it compared to the value of the asset. The value of the asset didn't change, but by buying it lower, all I did is lower my risk, right? And I was talking to somebody at lunch, about how this is a big thing right now. How can I go and I can continue to lower my risk? When I was a hard money lender for like a hot second, it was one of these, every time I found a new investor and they had a new project, I would assume that level of risk until that project's over. Once I get my money, yay, we made a bunch of money. What do? I have to literally reassess the same risk profile, new person or even the same person, but it's a brand new house, which means I'm always reassessing the same higher risk profile every single time. In a note, the longer I'm in a note, the lower my risk goes. I'm starting at a 50% investment to value, meaning if I get burned here, I still have another 50% of the equity in the house to at least get my money back. Are we pretty hedged? We're pretty protected, right? But every month, 318, some of that's principal. And maybe the property goes up in value over time. So over time in a note, my risk continues, goes down, down, down without sacrificing on the return on investment. And this note right here, if you plug it into a financial calculator, it'll give you 14.19% annually every year. Now, as a hard money lender, would I like to make 14%? Of course. But then I have to work and find another deal and find another deal. And there's gaps in between there. And some of them don't work out. How many of you are okay making that kind of return on investment? Can I see a show of hands? Can I see more hands if we kind of point out the fact that this is one deal that we do and this is an annualized return for 15, almost 20 years, right? It's a do it one time and continue to go, right? Now, some of you are like, no, Brian, I'm not okay with 14%. I am the most greedy person here. And that's okay. Because this is really where, even for you, I want to show you how moldable and how flexible notes are. In order to do 50,000 deals, you got to get a little creative. And so really what I want to show you is the power that banks have that most of us investors have never really thought about. We have the power, we just have never put the pieces together. If you're not okay with 14%, I want to walk you through this concept. You'll hear it a lot at Note School. I just simply get to be the one to kind of introduce it to you. But it's a concept called partials. And really, a partial is like a pizza pie, right? If it costs me $6 to make the pizza, how do I make money? I have to sell it for like 10 bucks, right? 12 bucks, 15. I got to sell it for more than what it cost me. We totally get that part. Or anybody from like a market with famous pizza, Chicago, New York, anybody? You can sell it by the slice, right? And if I sell it by the slice, well, magically all of a sudden after I sell the front half of the pizza, I'm in the same spot and then I've got my money back. But what's more important than getting your money back is the control. You still control the back half of the pizza. So in this silly scenario, what if you get hungry? You don't have to sell it. You didn't already sell it. So now you can eat it. And if you get angry, you could throw it at somebody, right? I'm just saying, like, there's options, and that's important, okay? And that's what is unique about partials, is this is a note strategy that we're going to use. So if you really want to learn this business, like, if you really want to focus on building wealth, you got to learn this concept. You have to learn how to buy long and sell short. Buy long means I'm going to commit to the entire note. I'm going to buy all 203 payments, right? I'm going to buy the promise to receive those. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around, I'm going to sell it short. So if you learn to buy long and sell it short, it means I'm going to buy the whole note, but I'm going to sell the front half of the pizza or the front half or the front section of the mortgage. And I'm going to walk you through really what this looks like. So let's just say for a second, I'm buying this note 203 months. And then I come to Jeffrey, I'll pick on you. So Jeffrey says, hey, Brian, I really want to buy a note. Like what you said, all sounds good. Why don't you just wholesale me a note? And I'd say, man, cool. I'm happy to wholesale you a note. You know, I just make a fee for doing the thing. But I know you're also really focusing on being passive, right? You want this to be kind of headache-free, right? Just knowing you, because we're friends, fought in Nam together, right? We go back. The point is that he wants it to be really headache-free. So I say, instead of wholesaling you a note where it's your responsibility, you work with the servicer. If they stop paying, you'll figure all that out. It's not the end of the world. It's not a ton of work, but that's your responsibility now. Instead of that, I'm going to say, what if instead of buying 20 years, 30 years worth of a note, I could just sell you a portion of one? And not just any, like, note, but literally one that I'm going to be in. I'm going to buy a note. I'll sell you a portion, and I'll sell you 10 years. I'll sell you 12 years. I'll sell you a shorter term. And on top of that, you're going to get the front part of the loan, which is the more valuable section of the loan. So I'm going to hook you up here. And to really make this even more passive, to make this more of a headache-free type of an investment, if something goes wrong, this is what it looks like. If you're getting the front section of the loan, I get the back section of the loan, right? And I'm a selfish guy, and so I really want to protect my assets, right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, if something goes wrong, let's say they stop paying when you're in the middle of the loan. 3 years in, these people magically stop paying. Cool. Do you have to deal with that? No. I will actually step in on your behalf, and I'll handle all of the problems. I'll figure out whatever we're going to do, and I'll do the work for us because, again, I'm not making money till the back end. So you're getting the more valuable section, and you're actually going to get $318 a month until you get all of your money and all of your interest, and then and only then will I start to receive the $318 a month. There's an incentive alignment here, right? And so because of that, this is going to make this a lot more passive for you. So if you start out with the question of, well, what kind of return on investment do you want? He gives me a number. As I kind of go through this conversation and I continue to lower your risk, lower risk equals lower return, hopefully, right? But Jeffrey's like, no, I still want double digits, Brian. I still want 10%. Even though right now you can raise money around 5 to 7%, long-term money around 5 to 7% for the note space, let's just say he wants 10%. Well, again, having the flexibility, I can use the numbers that I want to come up with. I can't change the 318. I just committed to the 10%. But what I can do is I can figure out, well, maybe I want to sell you 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. I can sell you any number of months that I want. And I do the math and I figure out, all right, Jeffrey, here's the deal. I've decided I'm going to sell you 10 years. You owe me $24,063 and you will own those notes. Now, this is in my IRA, so I'm not going to be able to receive payments for 10 years. Do I look like somebody who's going to be cashing out my IRA anytime soon? What's happening? Everyone should be saying no. I need to look in a mirror maybe. So the point is, he's going to put up 24 grand. It recapitalizes me. Jeffrey's on his way to really the same note servicer's managing it, but now he sees that there's another party involved, and this note servicer is going to pay that 318 every single month specifically to Jeffrey until the clicker dies. Hold on. The front end is more valuable solely because the first payment of a mortgage is primarily interest and a little bit principal. So you're front loaded on your interest. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, you're going to receive all your payments. You're going to put up $24,000. You're going to get $38,000. You made 10% return. That's great. He's good to go. So, Jeffrey, if I gave you 120 months, that means I get the back 83 months, right? And if I get the back 83 months, you put up $24,000, which is awesome. But you remember, I bought the whole note for $24,425. So how much money do I have in it? $362. I bought it. Within 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to find that person, you're going to get your money back. Now, Jeffrey's set up. He's good. He's got his plan. But what about me? Right? What about my money? I'm doing this for me. Or is this a charity and I'm just helping Jeffrey? Don't worry. I'm going to be okay. The point is, I get another 83 payments of 318, which means I make another $26,000. So the question is this. If you didn't raise your hand when I was like, are you good for long term at 14%? What's your return on investment when you put up $362 but you make 26 grand? Eddie Speed will tell you, if you don't need a calculator, it's probably good enough, right? That's a big key. And for me specifically, one of my passion projects really with kind of how this has evolved for me is really understanding that, again, what did I miss at the beginning? I missed early on that it's not just about building wealth. It's really, I could also make money today, right? Or the other limiting belief a lot of people have is, well, my big one was I got to have 20% down to be able to buy each rental property. So I got to wholesale 5 properties and then dump that money in to a rental property. What was the problem? I was the only income source of my family. So all those 5 deals, I needed that. These kids, they're hungry, I'm telling you. You know, I called Wells Fargo and said, can I just not pay you for the next 10 years so that I can build my wealth? And they said no. Can you believe that? So rude. So the point is that I really thought I was going to need a lot of money. That was a weird belief. But then also I thought, how am I also going to make money today? And really by using this, we don't have a ton of time to go into it today, but really by using this, I can move these numbers around any way that I want. If I wanted to make money today, I would sell them 140 payments, 160 payments. Now he has to pay me 26 grand or 28 grand or 30 grand, and that gives me $3,000 today, $5,000 today. Now I am going to give up more of the back end, but what if I'm both? What if I want to make money today and I also want to capture some of the back end? Anybody a wholesaler in here or ever wholesale a deal? Yeah? Okay, so a wholesaler, you wholesale that deal, you make money today. Do you make anything else? That's it, right? What if I could wholesale a deal but also keep cash flow for the future? If I could capitalize even on $5,000 or $10,000 extra dollars, but I got to wait a long time for it, wouldn't I take that free money? I would, right? It's that kind of concept. And so the reason I tell you that is because what's quickly become a passion project for me is helping people understand that you don't need a lot of money to build wealth, and that was a huge game changer for me. So here's what I want to show you. This is one of the things we teach at Note School, because if anybody gets it, it's me, right? Some of us are so interested in focusing on, I've got to make my money today because I've got bills or whatever it is. I don't have the capital to move forward and build my wealth for tomorrow. So you stop doing it. And so what I want to do is I want to show you how to take $100 and turn it to $100,000 from one note deal, one time, in tax-free in a Roth IRA, so that we can do one note deal, we can set and forget it, and you can get back to on your active income. I get it. You got bills to pay. You need the money for something else. Do it. I don't want to deter you from focusing on that, right? I know how frustrating that can be. And so that's really what this strategy is all about. You can leverage these partials to grow your wealth. An equity trust or Quest or whoever, they'll tell you it's got to be $100 solely because of that's what the limited or the minimum required investment is in an IRA at this particular moment, right? Do you have a question?
Yes, thank you.
So she's asking if the investment to value ratio includes anything with the partial. The investment to value solely is whatever money you put into it compared to whatever it's worth, right? So if I put $50,000 in it and it's worth $100,000, the investment to value is 50%. If I sold the partial for $25,000, it's still worth $100,000. My partial investor's investment to value would be $25,000 or 25%, right? And that's the other piece of this, is what if I have an IRA with a lot of money in it? Well, stop taking money out. Keep more of the back end. If I could defer my taxes to later, that woke some of you up. If I could defer my taxes to later, now all of a sudden I can leave $5,000 in, I can leave $10,000 in it. But I don't have to buy a $24,000 note with $24,000. I could simply buy it for $24,000 and sell off $10,000 of it, $12,000. It's that flexible. Eddie will tell you it's your chalk. This is how you know he's from Mississippi. He's got a saying for everything. So it's your chalk and it's your chalkboard. You can chalk the deal up however you want, right? That's really the key. Do you have a question, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, real quick. Go ahead and finish. Yeah, I mean, it will eventually pay off because it's principal and interest, right? And then you can look at an amortization chart and figure out, okay, at month 61, this is what I'd be paid off. At month 120, I'd be paid off this. But it's $318 a month, which is principal and interest. And depending on, yeah, like if they've already paid for 3 months, you're farther down the road. If they've been paying for 3 years or 6 years, you're, again, farther down the road. Question?
From a risk perspective, when you say I sold him a 120 months worth of payments, and you still hold the note, so
I'm in control.
Sell that note tomorrow to somebody else.
Why would I do that? Could I sell the note tomorrow? I guess I could exit my position. I have yet to think of a reason why I would do that. It's free money. Yeah, I'm in 100% control. So he's asking if they default, do you have an opportunity to foreclose? Absolutely. In fact, it's even easier because if he defaults when Jeffrey's in the partial, I'm going to step in. And we'll talk about this in a second when we get to non-performing loans. But there's three things I could do. I could say, hey, you know what? They're not paying. I want to make you solid, so I'm just going to keep paying. I'm going to pay the $318 a month so that you've got your cash flow coming in. Or I could say, look, you're only owed $18,000. I'll write you a check. You're done, and now I get everything, right? Or what I'm doing right now is, look, you wanted 10%. You're clearly an investor. Instead of, because one of the questions I ask when I raise money is, can you afford to go without payments for 12 months to 24 months in the event that, you know, this falls through or whatever? And I'm looking for a yes, not because it's going to happen. I'm looking for a yes because what I don't want them to say is, no, I need that cash flow to live on every month. That's not an investor for me, right? And so what I could do is say, cool, if it's really an investment, what I'll do is you're not going to get the payments. I'm not going to pay them either, but I'll bring you in on all the equity side. We're going to take down the house. We could flip it. We can wholesale it. And you'll actually end up making substantially more than 10%. That way, when I pay you off and say, hey, Jeffrey, you want to do it again? He'd be like, yep, right? Because I just hooked him up. Yes, ma'am. What happens if they refinance it or they sell it is the question, right? On an amortization chart, if you've been, like my partial investor, he's in it for 10 years. If in 5 years he's been getting all those payments, there's a payoff. He's owed this much, right? So he gets paid off, and then I get whatever else is owed. So if $32,000 is owed and it pays down to $28,000, I get everything between $28,000, and if he's owed $20,000, then I just get paid the $8,000. You just look at it on an amortization chart, and I could show you maybe at the end or something like that, kind of how this works. But let me kind of finish walking through this because I really want to get to kind of how this works on the non-performing side as well, so you have a better idea. And I'll stick around as long as you guys want for questions and stuff like that. Happy to do it. But this is Paula. She said, even for someone who has no knowledge or financial background to come into this environment and have this much help is phenomenal. I'd recommend it to everybody. Part of this is what creates that excitement is literally when you have the pain. When I had the pain of struggling with my rentals, when I had the pain of struggling with my property management company or fixing and flipping houses, and this is getting me the same result without the headache, that's what causes that elation. And what's cool about notes is they're obviously extremely passive, or they can be, but they're also very virtual, right? So it allows you to kind of do whatever you want, wherever you want, right? I picked my family up 3 months ago, moving from Dallas, Texas, and we moved in the mountains in Denver, Colorado. Why? Because I'd been in gold for a while, but it took me a while to figure out, how do I get my business passive enough to where I can continue to run it, but I don't have to drive from house to house to house, right? But when I say it's virtual, let me just be super clear. This is not what I mean. Okay, I was driving in an Uber the other day, and this is legitimately the way that it looks. Now, you can barely see it. I've got another angle, too. But this guy was telling me, look, the games, I can't afford to take time off to watch the games, and so I got to bring them with me. And I thought, oh, I better up my insurance really quick. He's got Pandora. He's got YouTube on these two phones over here. He's got, obviously, the Uber app right there. This is sports betting. This was the football game. I still have no idea what this is. It's very unnecessary. This is not how you run a virtual business. This is like a new disclaimer I feel like I have to tell people. This is not what I mean by this. So really what I want to do is I want to transition and talk a little bit more about what this kind of looks like, because I think it's pretty important to talk about non-performing loans. Because again, when we're really looking at this concept known as the market beyond the mask, right? This is the number one question you guys kept asking me. Where are the deals? Does anybody want to guess how many non-performing loans are on the market right now? Unless I just told you at lunch. The point is there's 4.5 million non-performing loans on the market right now. 1.1 million of the 4.5 million, about a quarter of them, are in some sort of program, a forbearance program. They're trying to get caught up. They're trying to get repaying. They're trying to figure something out. 1.1, 25%. The others are literally just not paying. They're just not paying. And so when you hear about things like, hey, there's going to be this wave of you know, kind of foreclosures and all this other stuff, that's what is unique about this particular market specifically. And I want to really dive into this here in a second. But when you look at kind of, I told you, anything you can do with a house, you can do with paper. We remember that? So if you can fix and flip a house, you could buy it low, you could add value to it, which creates your own equity, your own margin in the deal. You sell it when it's pretty and fixed up. Were you able to make some money? Absolutely. You put that work in. Well, a mortgage that is ugly and distressed and not paying is simply a mortgage that's troubled, right? It's the same exact thing. And I'm going to buy it low, and I'm going to rehab that note through phone calls and emails with my servicer to either find a way to get them kind of back paying again or to get the house. And this is what it looks like to fix and flip the paper side of the real estate, except for I don't ever have to go to the house. I just need it on my computer screen. Right. We'll talk about this in a second. But really, when someone's not paying, they're in default. And you're typically going to get a notice of default that says, hey, you're 30 days behind, you're 60 days behind, you're 90 days behind, et cetera, et cetera. And really, there's three options. And this is what I totally didn't understand, because the banks did a really good job of convincing me that foreclosure was like this six-year process. But there's only three things you can do, folks. If somebody stops paying, you can modify the loan. And really all that means is I'm going to get them repaying. I'm going to get them back on track. I'm going to put them in a position where they stay in the home and I stay the bank. So you were paying. You fell behind. You're not paying. I'm going to get you repaying, and I'm going to get my cash flow going again. In the event that they can't qualify for a modification, or they don't want to pay, right? Okay, great. Then that's fine. The collateral will protect me. I simply want to take the house back. But here's the deal, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner. I don't have a foreclosure on your record. Like, you already got clearly some negative things going on. Let's not add a foreclosure. You can deed me back the property, right? This is kind of like the cash for keys. And I'll tell them up front, look, it's going to cost me a couple thousand dollars to foreclose. I'd rather give you that money and you move on to the next chapter of your life. And you leave, like, if you leave the house in good condition, I'll stroke your check, we move on, we're good. And if they're like, no, come and take it, I'm like, well, I kind of can, you know, like, let's not really go there, right? And that event, yeah, absolutely, I can go to foreclosure. And foreclosure is not this big scary thing. In most states, it's about 6 months. But the reality is that these are really the only three things you can do. Like, you can't overcomplicate this too much. Now, if it's a modification, I stay the bank, so I just get them reperforming. And after they're reperforming for about 6 months, you know what the industry calls it? A performing note, right? Because, again, once you've proved to me with seasoning that you're back on track paying, great. But in the event they can't qualify, they don't want to repay whatever it is, and it's one of these two, a deed in lieu or foreclosure, well, then I'm going to get the house. And once I have a house, what can I do with it? I could wholesale it. I could flip it. I could rent it. You can do all the strategies you're already familiar with. The point is that right now in today's marketplace, you're buying assets, or you're hoping, trying to buy assets, and you're buying them at a discount that works for you. And right now, if you're buying them at, say, 70 cents on the dollar, There's enough margin in there for you to be able to wholesale it or rent it or whatever it is that your strategy is, and that works. So don't stop doing it. I don't need to have you stop doing that. What I want to show you is that there's not a cheaper way to get into an asset except through the bad debt side. Because I can buy the bad debt at 35 cents to 55 cents on the dollar, and if I do that, and the worst case scenario, in my opinion, is I'm going to get the house back, am I in the exact same spot? But I have better margins, right? So I'm lowering my risk, I'm increasing my profits, all because I picked up a specialized skill set, a piece of knowledge that's going to allow me to say, look, I can just play the same game the bank is playing, right? So when we really talk about where are the deals, you got to remember that the entire real estate market right now, there are 600,000 to 700,000 listed properties. Any agents in the room? Okay, so not a lot of listings right now. There are 3 to 4 times the amount of inventory available in non-performing loans than there are in the traditional real estate world, right? And what do you know more of? Do you know more note investors or more real estate investors? Yeah. So now you have less competition with access to more inventory, and you continue to move forward. It's a substantially bigger opportunity in this part of the market cycle. You have to understand, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, non-performing loans was not a part of the conversation. When Eddie said, hey, we want you to be on the teaching team to talk about these things, he didn't say anything about non-performing loans. But then all of a sudden this pandemic happened, and within 30 days you started to realize, holy cow, we are about to be in some serious trouble on the mortgage side. Because a lot of these people aren't going to be able to pay their bills. What does that look like? What's different today than really last time is the past markets. Think of 2008. Anybody in the market in 2008, 9, 10? Anybody? Okay. So you're really buying houses and you're probably crushing it. The difference is the assets were underwater. If you bought a non-performing asset, you know you're getting the house back because they owe you 100 grand, but the house is worth 80,000. When it goes to the auction, is it going to sell more than what it's worth? There's no way. So you know you're getting that house back. And the other thing is really once you buy that asset, you also have expenses on top of it. You got to flip it, you got to get it rent ready, whatever it's going to be. But also foreclosure wasn't payday, which means that my time frame to a paycheck just simply lengthens. And I think we're okay with that as long as we're going to make some money, right? This is what's really unique about today's market is we're in a real estate boom, but we're really in a mortgage bust. There are 4.5. I know the market's doing this. So funny, people come up and say, oh man, my market's on fire right now. I'm like, I haven't heard anybody say the opposite. Like even crazy little towns that I've never heard of, like, oh, that's crazy right now. Of course, right? But we're at a mortgage bust, 4.5 million non-performing loans. And the point is this, if you know anything about the time value of money, this is what is unique. When you buy a non-performing loan today, it's worth this much, you're owed this much. But over the last 10 years, it's gone up in value. So it's the value is up here, you're owed this. Are you likely to get that house back? It's unlikely. What's going to happen is when that goes to auction, it's going to sell at a discounted price that's still above what you're owed, which means you bought a non-performing loan, you didn't do anything to it, and you simply got paid off quickly. And to show you an example of this, this is the most recent non-performing loan that I just bought. This is an asset in Missouri, right? Again, it's virtual. I don't need to really be there, but I bought it this summer when they started allowing us to buy some of these loans that were already in foreclosure before the pandemic started. So this was 2 years delinquent. Was it this one that was 2 years delinquent? No, I'm sorry, not this one. But this was delinquent when I got it, right? Obviously, it's a non-performing loan. What do I start with every single time? I'm going to start with the value. So we got a BPO. What does the BPO say? It says it's worth $240,000 if you want to sell it quick, and then they throw this discounted price if you want to be able to sell it quick, it's discounted to $225. All right. BPO is broker's price opinion. Think of the as-is value, the appraised value, the comps, that type of valuation, right? Today's market price. So just think $240 for a second, because I'll easily wait, 60 to 90 days. They owe me $102,000. So if this went to auction, it's worth $240 and I'm owed $102, is it a pretty good chance I'm gonna get paid off? Pretty good chance that somebody's going to buy it. Some of y'all, I see it in your eyes. You're like, you don't even need to see what the inside looks like. You'll pay $102 right now. You're in. You're interested, right? So they're 13 months delinquent. Just so you know, when someone's about 6 months delinquent, the likelihood of getting them repaying, pretty low. Once they're a year delinquent, if you've had a year without any sort of mortgage or rent payment, it's just your new life. That's just how life is now. Like, why bother going back to paying? You're never going to get them to pay again. And really, in this case, he didn't qualify for a modification. Now, sometimes when people show you deals, right? It's, and this is why I kind of poke fun sometimes. They show you the deal. This is the home run deal. Look how deeply discounted I got this. Look how much of a great deal this is. Here's the big shiny numbers. I'm going to show you the opposite just so you can really see what's happening. This was an extremely tight deal that people didn't want, and I couldn't quite figure out why they didn't want it. And I'll explain why I did want it. So really what we look at is I'm buying this thing at $79,000 and some change, basically 80 grand. There's only $22,000 in margin. Really, we want a much bigger discount. The value of the asset is $240,000. My investment to value is 33%. What's my risk? Is it high or is it low? It's pretty low, meaning that if I put in 80 grand, right, and it's worth 240, I'm at 33% investment to value, simply meaning that I have three times the value of the home to protect my money. Is there a pretty good chance I'm going to get my money back if everything goes wrong? Pretty good chance, right? So the reason I tell you this is, let me walk you through this. I bought this one in June. Was it June? June 23rd. I bought it on a Thursday. I funded it on a Friday, and it's a pretty tight deal. What was I looking at? Today's market is different than 2008 because the foreclosures are already started in most cases. The reason I bought this loan is when I saw it, the auction was scheduled for Monday. So I said, if I buy it today and I fund it on Friday and it goes to auction on Monday and it pays off, I get paid $102,000. I can make 22 grand in less than 7 days, literally for sending some emails, signing some papers, and wiring money. That is like, I was like, I'm interested. Can we do more of these, right? So even when it's a super tight deal, there's opportunity because it's not that same process of we're going to go through foreclosure for 6 months, right, and all this stuff. Now, let me walk you through what went wrong with this deal so you understand, because I didn't get paid off. That's the best case scenario. The best case scenario is, hey, you're probably going to get paid off next week when it goes to the auction. Well, Monday morning, I send an email. Hey, is it on the docket? You know, let me know when it's payday, right? And they said, actually, they filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy, so they're going to kick the can down the road. And I said, cool, what does that mean? Because I don't really, I'm not a bankruptcy specialist. The good news is, Note School obviously connects me with a bankruptcy specialist. They explain it in very simplistic terms that said, you don't have to do anything but wait. In defaulted mortgages, let's just say this was an 8% interest mortgage. It's not accruing at 8%, it's accruing at the defaulted rate of the mortgage, which is like 15 to 18%. So I don't mind that he's kicking the can down the road. I'm making solid money just by waiting, right? And basically, it got kicked the can down the road. Chapter 7, he's just going to have to liquidate his assets, right? The house is what's going to pay me off. I just have to wait until that day comes. The bankruptcy got discharged, and they said it's going to auction in November. You just have to keep waiting. And I said, I will keep waiting. And $102,000 will just continue to go up until I eventually get paid off. But the key for me was, if I put up the money, even if I raise the $80,000, I can go to an investor right now and say, hey, do you want to loan money as a hard money lender at 65 and 75% on the dollar? Or do you want to loan money to me at 33 cents on the dollar? Because you're going to be, even if I get hit by a bus, which this is not an incentive to hit me with a bus, but even if I did, you know that you're pretty protected, right? And so this really allowed me to lower my risk. Obviously, there's plenty of money in it. And again, it's relatively passive. The third-party note servicer is really the one that manages it. They're going to be working with the bankruptcy specialists, the attorneys, the people. They're going to be putting me in contact with people that I need in order to make this happen, right? And this is, I love this because she says that most people don't know about Notes. This is a relatively true statement. And I'd recommend Note School over any other training mentoring program for the real estate industry. That's pretty dang powerful. Yes, sir. So, good question. He's asking, I said it was a tight deal. Was I talking about money or was I talking about time? I was talking about money, meaning that I was owed $102,000 and I was buying it for $80,000. Really, I want to be owed $102,000. I want to buy it at like, I want to put $50,000 into something. I want to put $40,000. I want there to be way more money in there so that I can be more profitable, right? That's not your traditional deal. You're not going to see a ton that are super tight like that. And that's kind of the benefit, right? And so I say all this, and we've got plenty of time for Q&A and stuff, so I'm going to make sure that I stick around. But really, my whole purpose in showing you this is to kind of simply pull back the curtain and show you an entire industry that, for me, I didn't understand. Well, really, I didn't know about it, and then I didn't understand it. And then I started to realize that this not only accomplishes all of my goals, it actually helps me reach goals I didn't know that I had, which is how do I keep the same amount of money coming in every single month or annually or whatever my goal is, but also now I can do it virtually, which allowed me to move my family to a completely other part of the country and really start to meet my goals. And so it's just about taking that next step and really figuring out all right, where do we go from here? And for most of you, you're going to go on the exact same journey that I went on. And so let me show you what that looks like. It's really just about trying to start being the bank, right? And Eddie actually has a 3-day advanced training. And when I say a 3-day advanced training, I truly mean it is an advanced training because it's unique in a lot of different ways that I'm going to kind of walk you through. But it's 3 days to specifically focus on this niche, right? And it's really great because this is something that you can add into your business, because I don't need you to stop doing what's working, right? You're really just saying, look, the market condition is the market was going up, and once it starts to go flat or roll over and any of that, that's where the non-performing loans live for 2 to 3 years. So you have this window if you want to get into non-performing loans where you have a couple of years to really work these things, right? On top of that, for those of you who raised your hands, you're like, I want to be passive. I want to really focus on building wealth. Then you have to really learn about performing loans. Why? Because you can lower your risk and increase your returns. But what's more important than that is, what if we could take that same concept and do it in a tax-deferred environment, but also use something like partials to really leverage the capital that I have? What if I only have $6,000 in my retirement account? How can I really grow wealth? Well, we're going to show you how to do it with $100. And if you don't have $100, y'all need to go home and start selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace like ASAP. That's a problem, right? And so what's different, if you've ever been you've ever heard Eddie speak or anything like that, what's different now than when I started is the pandemic changed everything. It truly did, and he knows how valuable this is in a time like this, because the reason he was able to do 50,000 deals over the last 40 years is because with each downturn, he's trying to double his net worth. He's trying to triple his net worth solely because the money is the same strategies, but it's in non-performing loans. Because you're able to buy them with such equity in them, it really gives you an advantage. So here's how he's really changed it up since the pandemic. The first thing he did is, prior to the pandemic, people were paying to come to trainings, and if their business partner would come, they'd buy another $2,000 ticket, right? This is kind of how he did it. And basically he said, right now, let's just make sure everybody's got the information. So bring your business partner if you've got a business partner. But what's unique about Eddie's 3-day events and why it's truly an advanced training now, where it's kind of generic in the past to get everybody up to speed, is he's really formulated a completely different approach. Eddie's more focused right now on, how do I take somebody who knows nothing and really get them to where they want to be in a short period of time. He has so many students and he has so much success in this industry that he's finally figured out this is what makes the perfect student, right? It's one coat of paint at a time is what he says. Again, these sayings. And really what he's talking about is, it's layers of knowledge, right? You got introduced to this. You understand the concept. Then we start needing to do one layer until we can really get into the nitty-gritty. And what's really unique about these 3-day trainings and why they're different than any other training I've ever been to is, he literally builds them based on these one-on-one guidance sessions. And so really what that means is, Eddie's been doing this for 40 years. Can he shove all of his knowledge into 3 days? No, that's going to be pretty tough, right? But we got 3 days. So what 3 days of education do we teach? We need to know from you. So he knows a pretty good idea. 50, 60, 70%, they need to know this. You know, this is how it works. This is how, whatever it is. But the other 30, 40, 50% is, we get in contact with you prior and we say, all right, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, where are you trying to go? What's stopping you from getting there? Let's figure that out. Figure out where the gaps are in your business. And then let's build the agenda to make sure that when you spend 3 days of your time, you're walking away with, like, okay, cool. They actually talked about what I needed to know. We're going to have you leave with a 7-point action plan that's tailored to you. So that way, if you invest 3 days of your time, you're walking away with exactly, you know exactly what to do. And that is really the key. And that's really why I just admire Eddie so much, is he's not interested in just like, yeah, we teach this and that's kind of how notes work. He's trying to help you better figure out, how does this fit in your business based upon what you're trying to accomplish. And you'll be able to have that one-on-one lifeline throughout the event to be able to ask those questions to and stuff like that. Right now, this is pretty cool. We've got 2 events coming up, and these are 2 very unique events in this way. First of all, they're virtual right now. Obviously, this is a national group, so we have to do it virtually. But the other variable is, if you attend one of these virtual classes, when Eddie is in your market in person next, you can literally reattend a 3-day training, an advanced training, which will be completely different than the one you already went to. You can reattend it for free when it's in your market next. Or I guess you could travel if you really wanted to do that too. But the point is, it's more training, and about 40% of the room in a live 3-day session, 40% is existing Note School students. So it becomes a networking opportunity as well. But Eddie doesn't just want you to get it. Remember how I said this is an advanced training? The reason I keep saying that is because how he changed this is, if we're going to spend 3 days, we need to go deep. And if you're new and you don't know what you're talking about, kind of a useless point of 3 days. And so he started giving away all the courses that he has. So he's giving away a thing called Nothing Down Deal Architect. This is really, if you want to learn how to create your own notes, this is one way to do it. He's got some guides in there to help you figure out what he calls the talk off. This is a logical, rational conversation of how am I getting a seller to say yes? How am I getting the seller to say yes? Not just the seller financing, but to 0% interest or zero down or any of those variables. The bigger thing is, how do we find that right buyer that we can create a note with? How do I know who's got $50,000 down, right? I was in Texas, so lease options weren't a huge thing. We really more went this route, but part of my frustration with lease options early on was simply that, hey, I don't like this whole $500 to $5,000 down. Like, I want like a big chunk down. And that's really one of the things that this whole guide will walk you through. And we'll teach you how to build a funnel of 50 to 100 of these buyers to create a note with within 48 hours for free. It's pretty bananas. But this is really where what I'm talking about, this is the course that you're all going to start with. This is Rich Rewards. It is not only the historical perspective of notes, which you kind of just need to have a baseline understanding, but it's actually his 10 touch point system that's going to walk through the documentation, go through all the legal issues you got to be aware of, and then obviously buying the loans, wholesaling the loans, selling partials, all the stuff that we really talked about is going to be a part of this. And then really wouldn't be complete if we didn't also include the non-performing loans. What's interesting about the non-performing loan thing that I didn't give him enough credit for is that it has its own lingo. If you walked into a bank or a fund or something, you said, I want to talk to you about non-performing loans, it started as this good old boys club. So they have this other lingo. And when you ask for a non-performing loan, guess what they know? You're brand new. You have no idea what you're talking about. And so he kind of shortcuts this a little bit, gives you a little bit of a heads up when it comes to the lingo, so at least you have a better understanding of kind of where to go. So he's just, again, basically since the pandemic, he said, how much value can I really give these people to help them on this journey? Because if we can accelerate that, you're capitalizing on the market condition that's available today. And if you go to the Note School website, you'll see it's 1247, right? Obviously, with this relationship with OREA, he's trying to say, look, we want to make this really easy to pay off for you, right? And so what he's done is, obviously because of the relationship, he's dropped it down to $997. And the cool part about this is hopefully it's a low startup cost for you, but the benefit that I hear a lot of people say is like, oh, if I do one deal ever, I'll get paid back. Like, yeah, but that's not the right mindset. Right? One of the things I feel like I did smart coming into this was changing my view on what the return is going to be. I want to make $997 back, of course, but I want to do a deal or several deals over the next couple of months that's going to get me $997 coming back every single month. I want to invest today, but I want to get paid back for the next decade or two, right? So it's a pretty big deal, and I think that is really the better approach to take. And so for those of you that are interested in this, and let me say this, because I've got a couple more slides I want to show you too. If you're actually serious about this, like if you're like, this is for me, I see how this fits into my business, I want to do this, I want to give you a couple other things. I truly want this to be a no-brainer. Like, I get very passionate about this, but it's because it radically changed my business and the direction that I was able to take my family, right? And so I really want to make this a no-brainer. So here's two other things we're going to give you. If you sign up today, specifically today, we're going to give you what is known as the Insider Hedge Fund Formula. This is a course that if you ever wanted to say, I want Eddie's 40 years of experience in a course. I want basically the business in a box kind of mindset. And I literally want you to walk me through everything that I need to know to really kind of structure this thing in a way to be able to scale it to whatever level I want up to, so far 50,000 deals. So we go through why non-performing is such a big deal, the passive cash flow side, the tax-free wealth creation, all the way down to literally setting up the fund, setting up the business, the whole entire thing. You kind of get the idea. And if that's just not enough, for the first time ever, what's never been done ever before by Eddie, by Note School, literally by signing up this event, he's doing a one-time only special event. Now, there's nothing worse than really going out and you got blood, sweat, and tears. You're trying to make money. You made all this money, and then somebody known as the IRS steps in and says, we'd also like a cut, please, right? And Eddie has one of the most impressive CPA, CFO, tax accounting teams that I've ever seen. And this is really, and I'm literally just now starting to realize this. He's just now starting to even share with some of the team, like, well, this is really what we're doing, right? And so he's literally doing this one-time event. And it really was because some of the current administrations, their proposal with the $600 and reporting the $600 to, stop the tax dodgers and really attack the super wealthy One of the things he's doing for one night only is truly doing an event where he's just going to open his books. He's just going to pull back the curtain and really show you, here's what's actually happening in my business. Here's not only how we're making money, what's more important, here's how I'm actually keeping the money. And again, these are little known rules that yield really big results, and it truly is a one-time event. So let me kind of walk you through. These are just some of the things, right? We're going to talk about how to legally profit from the insider information, meaning what the IRS really allows, right? We're going to talk about the tax secrets that he uses and what system he's outlined or that his team has outlined for him. It's going to give you an opportunity to simply pick the brain of somebody who is a note millionaire. And then this obviously just points directly to the line of, it's not just what you know about real estate, it's who you know, right? If you can just simply tap the shoulder, if you could ask the question, you can go a lot farther. And then what's special for you, and that's going to be frustrating for the others, is we have a lot of real estate ninjas, is what we call them. A lot of note school students do over 100 real estate transactions every single year. We call them the ninjas. And they're getting told no, that they can't attend this event because this is a very exclusive opportunity, right? So it's a huge deal that he's doing this. It truly is. It's a one night only kind of a thing. Joel was telling us, you know, I've attended many presentations, webinars, seminars within the real estate space. Today's session was simply one of the best. He happened to get a little bit of the insight into what's going on. And just so you know that this isn't some sort of like big salesy scarcity thing, this is really not. Let me be super upfront. It's not fake scarcity. Eddie himself is actually hosting it, and it's truly a one-time event only. And he's literally going to be doing it for the people who sign up for one of these events that's coming up. It's a pretty big deal. And one of the things, the big ask that I had for Eddie, because anytime I come to speak a group like this, I always ask for something ridiculous to see if I can get it. And one of the things I ask is, what happens when it's like they're scared? What if they don't know that this works for them? They don't know anything about the no business. This is totally foreign. I said, how can I put up a slide like this? And he said, good question. Can you say zero risk on a microphone? I'm not 100% sure, right? What if you attend the class, the three-day class, and you find out, you know what, notes isn't for me? It's not likely, but it's possible. What if that happens? Well, it's pretty clear. This is what we're going to do. We're literally giving you, Eddie said, I will do a this will work for you, 100% money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied within 30 days, simply let them know. Just simply send them an email, tell them, hey, I want to be refunded. They'll give you a full refund, no questions asked, no debate, no hassle. Send an email saying, this isn't for me, I'd like my money back. This is what I'm talking about when I'm like, I want this to be an absolute no-brainer for you. Ideally, what I want to see is you actually take the knowledge, which is important, number one. The next thing I need you to do is I need you to actually go do it, right? But if I can show you where the inventory of notes is, and we can show you even how to raise the capital, can't we just put the two things together? Can't we start to add a whole nother channel of your business? So I'm hoping this is a huge value for you. Two other things I wanted to point out. Simply, Kathy, all of the Note School content's amazing. I read through the newest ebook and the Moneyball downloads. Love all of the case study examples. She's been watching YouTube frequently and like those two. Thanks for sharing all the great educational materials. She's crushing out in California. And then Gail, of course, I found Note School through a RIA group. And once I watched the YouTube show, I knew that I needed to sign up specifically for this class. And so I'm really hoping that this is valuable content. You're starting to see, like, maybe this is something I should spend some time investing. $1,000 is a good chunk of change, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it's a $1,000 investment in your knowledge that I think can radically change not just your business, but it can definitely radically change how you're building wealth, especially if you can do it in a tax advantage account. And so here's what I want you to do next. Listen up. This is pretty important. I'll stick around. I'll do questions as long as you want. But at this point, if this is for you, I'll put it all on the screen so you can have it. I simply want you to go sign up at the back. I'll stand back there as well. I'll help you guys with however I can. I just need to point you in a different direction. I'll try to do that too. But I'll stick around. I'll answer questions. I appreciate you guys, you know, taking some time to talk with me and hear me out. Wish you the best of the rest of the show, and we'll kind of go from there. So come on to the back. I'll answer some questions. And we're going to go from there. You bet. Hey, buddy. Pretty big problem. So finding a solid deal is the headache. Yeah.
It really is.
So, so you have a question?
Great presentation.
Thank you.
What's the basic process of changing $100 into, you know, $100,000?
The process of turning $100 into $100,000 is you're buying a note and you're going to sell a partial.
Okay.
And you can do it in a tax advantage account. You could
do it.
I have
one right now, but I just haven't done anything with it. I got the money sitting
there. So you kind of got two ways. You could buy the whole note, and then you could sell a partial that makes you more money in your IRA. So if you had $30,000 in your IRA, and you said, I'm gonna buy it for $30,000, and then I'm gonna sell a partial for $35,000. Now you have $35,000 in your IRA, and you're owning the back end of a note. But now that since you have $35,000, now you can buy a bigger note and sell a bigger partial, and it just scales. But you have to start at least with $100.
Okay. So, but once you make that purchase, though, how much comes back to you? You have to sell it? Is that what it is? Or?
You don't have to sell it at all. You can just buy the whole note and hold on to it.
Okay.
And then how much do you want to sell? If you've got a lot of money in your account, leave
$5,000. Say I got $5,000 in there.
Yeah, if you got $5,000 in there, you can leave $5,000 in it if you wanted to. You can leave $3,000. You can leave, as long as it's $100, that's currently the minimum, unless you buy the whole note, in which case you could sell anything that you want. But if you have a smaller account, like under $10,000, you just need $100, you know, and we're kind of getting kind of creative with the ideas of this deal's $100, then I put $176 in this one, then $124, then $326. So you kind of want to, you don't want it to look like you're running a business, but because you can do it over and over again, it really, the nest egg that you're building is a monstrosity.
Now with that $5,000, would you buy just one note or several notes? Or what's the quickest way to maximize your...
It's literally buying several notes. It's leaving a couple hundred bucks each one, really until you've deployed all $5,000. So you could buy 10, 20, 30 notes with a $5,000 account. Now remember, because it's an IRA, that money you have to wait for that money until a certain age or until they refinance it. Yeah, but if you sold off, say, even 12 years, you'd have to wait 12 years to get payments. But what's actually going to happen is in about 7, 8, 9 years, they're going to refinance it. They're going to pay it off. So you'll just get a chunk of money. You don't actually have to. You typically, with 90% accuracy, you're not going to have to wait for the whole thing to go off. On average, most people are refinancing, paying off, or selling it within 7 to 9 years. In the country is the average.
That's how long it's before you can use it for anything else, right?
Well, this is where it gets kind of crazy. Is it's not only can you can use it for other things. You can literally do the same thing in an HSA, which allows you to use the money today as well. Like like I tried to show you a big picture, but there's just no way.
That's why I'm asking the questions. I don't know.
It's mind-boggling. End of the 3-day, he goes through so much of showing you, kind of this is really how, if you wanted to maximize a few $100, a few $1,000s to build long-term generational wealth, this is how you can do it. Now, how could I also use some of that money for today's purposes? How could I use some of this money? Yeah, same thing, right? So his grandkids, the reason they have their college educations funded is because they're under 2 years old and they have 12-year partials that they sold. So when this kid's 12, now all of a sudden his couple hundred dollars turn into $1,000, and he only has to do it one more time, college is going to be paid for. You know what I mean? So it's really not... Yeah. There's not only a ton of notes, there's also just way less investors, which is, I think, the important part. So that note that I showed you, so I have an agreement with Eddie that any of the note inventory that he has available, I'll wait 2 weeks to buy it. So I'll give all note school students 2 weeks an opportunity to buy it before I buy it. Because I'll just restructure the deal. I'll sell more or less of a partial to get whatever return I want. I don't care what the deal looks like. I can move the numbers to make it into whatever deal. That note that I bought, that it was a tight deal, nobody bought it for 2 weeks, and I was like, guys, the foreclosure's this month. If for whatever reason you get paid off, that's, if I can make $22,000 a week, I want to do it every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do we make that happen? Yeah.
What happens to note buyers, like, during that housing crisis, that Great Recession? Did a
killer
lot
question.
Default, and then,
this recent one, in the last 24 months? In 2008 and 10, they all defaulted. Yeah, because the house values, they owed this much, but the value is this much, so they just finally walk away. Yeah, so all the payments stopped. So people had to buy. You would, like, if it's worth $100,000, or you owe $100,000, it's worth $80,000. The people just walk away. Well, you're going to buy that at the auction for, say, $35,000, $40,000. Now you have a $35,000, then you got to rehab it to make it worth 80 again and flip it, right? That was the previous market cycle. This market cycle, they're not really stopped paying because if they do, they're going to lose all that equity. So they're willing to rob a bank to essentially get caught up and make sure that there's some sort of solution. And even when they can't, and this is the thing I don't understand, like even this guy, I'm like, dude, just sell the house. But there's some sort of emotional baggage damage, something going on to where it's like, I don't want to, I just can't deal with it anymore. And they just walk away.
But did you have a lot of notes to default that you were actually getting payments
if they were performing? No, well, I wasn't a part of the last market thing. Now, Eddie will tell you, if you bought 1,000 notes, a third of them you'll have to modify, and you'll keep them. A third of them are going to deed in lieu, and a third of them are foreclosed. That's pretty traditional, he says, over 40 years. He said, this one's a little bit different because who expected the prices of homes to do this over the last year and a half? Like, I don't think anybody expected that.
Well, what's the strategy if you got all these non-performing loans?
I'm still protected. I'll take the house back. Mm-hmm. I'll either modify it and get you repaying again. No one's underwater right now.
Yeah. Underwater 40%,
right. 5%. Exactly. But now that's not the case. Right? If the market, let's say in 2 years the market drops 40%. Let's say it drops 40%. Well, I was at 33 cents on the dollar. I now have an asset that's worth 60 cents on the dollar. Am I still protected? Can I still sell it that exact same day? Yeah, throw a sign in the yard. Call a wholesaler.
You're buying the note at a discount anyway.
You're buying it at the same discounted margins, but you're protected in the fact that the houses went up substantially, which even if that's fake equity, it's just going to come back down to where it was, which is how I structured the note to buy it in the first place. I'm assuming it's not worth 240. I'm assuming it's worth 180 so that I can call an agent and have it listed that day. So I can call. Absolutely. Yeah. It's for me, it's the time value of money. So like that deal, if I got this house back at $240,000, you think I'm going to flip it or something? I'm literally calling a wholesaler or an agent. I just want like $160,000. Because now I got my $80,000 back, another $80,000. Now let's buy more notes with it. Because over the next 2 years, I'll be able to turn a bunch of them. And as they start to weed out, then I'll probably sell it to a penalty box buyer at $255,000. And I'll take $50,000 down. And you see what I'm saying? Like, right now it's about there's so much inventory, there's so few people buying it, and my risk is low, so I don't want to stay in it to maximize my profit. I'd rather just turn the deals over and over again because that's actually in the long run mathematically will make me more money. And now I also have way more capital to deploy when it comes time to, I want to keep some of these.
Do you find all these deals online?
I never look at the house. I only need to know the paper. Because the note servicer sends somebody to do all that. They send a door knocker to knock on the door, and they say, hey, you know, I'm here representing your lender. They want to work with you. Do you want to live here? Can you afford to live here? And then they just send you a report that says, here's what's going on, and you have to make a decision. What do you want to do? Do you want to help them? Do you want to give them a second chance? Are they gonna leave? Can you offer them a deed in lieu? Like, your job is to figure out, how do I help these people through whatever the situation is? I have to protect my investment. But you have more power as the bank to help these people than anything else, right? Once you go to the foreclosure auction, you buy a cheap house, well, it's already over. Totally. And you'll end up learning that you can do what's called a hypothecation. You can borrow against the loan as well. Like, there's so many things that you can do. You can borrow against the loan, and Eddie actually has a company that will loan you the money to borrow against your loan portfolio as well. Yeah, and you can buy more if you wanted to. I mean, it's like from an old boy. You know, it takes about 50,000 deals to figure it out is what I keep saying. No, I don't say that. But yeah. So.
Where's the live bootcamp?
The 3-day?
When and where?
So really, it's a virtual thing. It's on those dates. No, when they are live. So, like, if you're in Sarasota, Florida, and he's in that area, you can reattend that for free, which gives you another 3 days, which obviously you'll be farther down the road, which means you can ask better questions. Yeah. You can network with other investors.
Because I know another, so I'm asking dumb questions.
Yeah. No, you'll start with the courses, and those courses will get your knowledge up so that when you do your one-on-one, you'll actually ask a lot better questions. That's what makes the 3-day advanced training advanced now, is you're going to get so much of that stuff out of the way just by going through those courses.
It sounds like such an easier strategy than any other real estate strategy.
But it's not sexy. You can't make an HGTV show about it. Yeah. Trust me, I get it. I pushed this off for 2 years because I'm like, I don't know. It seems boring. Yes, you have to think about things differently.
I mean, is it that easy compared to...
Let me ask you this. Who owns the biggest buildings in the country? The banks. So even, I'm not saying we play the same game, but I'm pretty sure they figured something out. What is it? And it's really a lot of this. And Eddie's father-in-law was part of the one of the pioneers that actually figured out partials. And he was not a, he's not a, a mortgage guy. He was a fire chief. He just happened to be like the real estate millionaire next door kind of guy. He was buying and selling mortgages, and he tried to buy a whole package, and the bank said, sorry, we're trying to sell it, but the computer won't let us sell you the mortgages. It's only letting us sell you 15 years. And he goes, hold on a second. What if we just did half? And that started this whole movement of, oh, my gosh. Do you want to make some serious money? Did you know that the worst performing bank in the country right now annualizes 500% return? The worst performing bank. And it's because they can move the money and they can sell off parts of loans and they can reduce their risk. So not only are they reducing their risk exposure, they're also increasing their returns to whatever they want by selling off 10%, 20%, 50%, or they're borrowing against it. You have to have the tools to be able to build the deal.
Is there sources for deals that you have?
Yes, by joining Note School, you'll have access to deals.
Because in other real estate, if you're in the market, you're looking for leads,
yeah,
looking for purchases.
Right. So my story was in 2018, I was struggling to find deals.
Yeah.
He says, oh, deals aren't the problem. And I was like, I'm going to stop you right there. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, there's Note inventory. You can just buy it from these. Like, oh, he's got funds. He's got sites. He's got connections with hedge funds. Like, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's irrelevant. So it really boils down to inventory is not the problem. So I was like, and really the reason my business is passive is I just say, you find the notes, I'll find the money, and I'm just putting them together. And that's what allowed me to move and have my business be passive. And that got me out of the housing business. Yeah.
Eddie opens up all those opportunities if you're a student of his to mm-hmm. purchase these notes from hedge funds and all
yeah.
these other places.
Yeah, that's basically what I do now. Yeah.
How much competition do you have between students?